Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to a Christmas Rahalastapa with Jack Whitehall. Fantastic. And this show is sponsored by the Farters Survival Guide. I am proud that they have sponsored me. It's by Bennett O'Donnell. It covers a wide range of scenarios in which you might discover you've accidentally done a blow-off. The pack lift, the wedding altar, the yoga lesson while inside a pantomime horse. Well, when you're just one of the teachers on the bus, and many more, including while under a vow of silence and when being abducted by aliens. Each scenario offers three different outcomes: the sensible choice, the riskier approach, and the kamikaze option. The book also includes several choose your own fart ventures. I'm liking it in spite of myself. And a set of Big Trumps photocopyable playing cards where you can pit society's worst farters against each other in categories that include outward respectability, dietary risk, waft and stench. Including very funny illustrations by the artist Tom Wharton, the Farter Survival Guide is published by Michael O'Mara Books and available right flipping now. So buy it, because they've been very kind and helped sponsor us via Kickstarter, as many as you did, which made this series possible and worthwhile. So it sounds like the perfect Christmas gift, but you probably won't be able to get it in time for Christmas. That is my guess. Get it as a New Year's gift or as a Satan's Day gift, which is January the 8th. Anyway, I will see you very soon. Hope you enjoy this podcast. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who can cure or cause cancer with his finger, so you better be a good audience, every other one of you. It's Richard Herring! Hello. Good to be back. You're already better than last week's audience. So, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or as some of the cooler kids, I was down at the Bad Education film premiere. There's a lot of kids down there. They were calling it Rahalastapa, that's what I said. Oh, that's awesome. And so we'll have a quick chat with there's some nice ladies in the audience. Hello, what's your name? Lydia, that's a very old-fashioned name. Have you travelled through time to be here? No, not recently. Well, in a way, aren't we all travelling through time? Just very slowly, 1 second at a time. That's all I want to say to you. And what's your name? Natalie, that's just a normal name, not like Lydia. You thought you said Natalie. You said Natalie like I was going to go, ooh, wow, Natalie. So what do you do for a living, Natalie? You have a design agency. Is that like you solve crimes and design? If someone does a design that isn't very good, you get sent out to kill them. Yeah, brilliant. Well, you've got that's very nice. And what's and are you with this gentleman? Is he with you? No. Oh, you okay? Oh. Are you excited to be sitting next to these two ladies? This is pretty much the most exciting thing that's ever happened in your frankly long life. What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, it's nice to meet you. Do you work in IT, Nick? Yeah, good. Thank you. So I'm like Henry Higgins. Henry Higgins of professions. Look, we're going to move straight on. It's lovely to see you all. I was quite polite to you all, wasn't I, despite what I said before. This week's guest is probably best known as Ben Whiston from Noah's Ark. Not like the original Noah's Ark. The TV show Noah's. I don't need to tell you. Please welcome Jack Whitehall, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Whitehall. There's a microphone. Hello, come in. Nice to meet you. What a charming young man.
Hello.
He's a charming young man, he is. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
He's flown in from America especially to do this.
I have.
And then you're going back to America as soon as you've done
America.
This.
And not to my house.
No, okay, good.
I flew in. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you. It's for, what do you remember about Noah's Ark, the sitcom you were in when you were 9 years old?
Noah's Ark, yeah. I played a boy in a vet, because it was about a vet, and
it was
called Noah's Ark. Eh? See what they did there?
Don't really see it and get it.
No, it's... And I played a boy with a rabbit, and the rabbit attacked Anton Rogers.
Yeah.
And then Anton Rogers, who played the vet, went, this is a monster. And then I had to go, it's not a monster, he's a rabbit. But on the day, I got a lot of nerves and couldn't say rabbit and said wabbit every time.
Yeah.
And in the end, they dubbed me, so it's not my voice. Yeah.
And first, have you been dubbed performance you've done since?
It's I had that, ignominy, very early on in my career. And then what I thought was going to be the highlight of my career up to date was... Maybe 2 years ago, I got this call from my agent. They said, Disney have asked whether you'd like to come and record a voice for this new film they've got called Frozen. And I was like, oh my God, I love Disney. I'm 100% up for that. And I went and I recorded this one line, go feed the troll. The one line is, I now trollfully pronounce you man and wife. Yeah, pretty good. I practiced quite a lot. And so I did an interview in front of the Frozen poster, tweeted about it, told everyone I knew about it, went to see it, put on the black tie, headed down to the Putney Odeon. It wasn't a premiere, I was just going to watch the film. The black tie was unnecessary in hindsight. And I went in, and it got to the bit where Goofy the Troll comes out, he walks out, and then it cut away to one of those fucking princesses, and my line had been cut. Aww. And I called Hannah, my agent, I was like, what's happened? And she went, oh, unfortunately, I failed to tell you that Disney had reduced your part to a non-speaking role. So I'm credited. I'm credited on the film. It says Jack Whitehall goes through the troll, non-speaking role in an animation.
But presumably in the silence as he walked away, your silence.
You see him in the background like that, and then he cuts. It's bullshit. And I love the film as well. Yeah. And in everywhere you hear the song as well. Let it go. No, I fucking won't.
I met the guy who's the snowman in Frozen.
Josh Gad?
Yeah, I met him. It was on Saturday.
See, I know all of their
Sunday
names.
Kitchen or whatever it's called to them. He seemed quite a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great.
He was advertising that awful film that he did with, I think it was Adam Sandler, where Space Invaders came and started attacking Pac-Man. He did well to try and make it look like he didn't think it was shit.
Really?
Yeah. I was quite more impressed by any of his acting in anything I've seen. By the way, he went, it's great. This is a great film. This is a good idea. This isn't a terrible idea. And the fact that Adam Sandler's in it is no indication that it's going to be terrible.
I need to learn some of those techniques for promoting stuff that isn't very good, because I feel like I might be entering that stage in my career.
I think people should be honest. I mean, it's not good for your career if you are honest, but you should be honest, because then the public will trust you.
Yeah.
If you go, look, this one isn't very good, but bear with me. the next one I'm in will probably be okay. I couldn't...
How would you describe this film? Well, it's a stepping stone. Yeah, producers may not be okay with that.
So I met you when we went on the circuit like about 10 years ago or something like that, maybe not quite that long ago. When you must have been... like 13, 12 years old, because you still look about 15 years
15
old.
15 years old.
You're the youngest person who's ever been on this.
I was 18.
Yeah.
I think I was 17 when I started, then 18 when I started doing the circuit. And then we met. Oh, I was just saying backstage, I remember coming to see your show in Edinburgh, one of the first Edinburghs that I just went to as a punter to watch shows. And I was with my friend's mum, she's lovely, but she's quite uptight and she's very proper. And she'd seen on your poster, she'd just seen Radio 4. And that's clearly what her eye had gone to. So we went along and she was expecting a kind of light tweet hour of Radio 4 comedy.
And then the cancer finger came out.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was so funny. So funny watching you, but even funnier watching her just like jaw dropped.
I should get her to come to all my gigs and just sit behind me on the stage, and then people who aren't enjoying me, they can enjoy her reaction. My workout.
I think she died a little bit when you made a fingering joke. Okay. It was...
As long as only a little bit, it would be a shame if she actually
You can't
died.
Even narrow down the show to which I reference.
I really can't. But I should be able to remember that more recently. Well, but you were very... I mean, it was clear to me, even in 2005, 2006, whenever it would have been, that you were going to go great places. But it's gone... I mean, it's incredible. Can you quite believe your life and your career, a film star, TV star. You are going out with Gemma Chan from the TV show Humans, which I'm really pleased about.
Have you've seen Humans, haven't you?
I like him. We may have a line of questioning on this later. It's going all right for you, isn't it? It's going. Do you wake up in the morning and pinch yourself? And can I pinch you instead if you don't?
I mean, Gemma is. I don't know what she's doing with me.
No, I agree.
It's amazing how readily people are to remind you of that fact. Like fucking everyone, strangers, people you meet, like everyone, no one's shy in telling you that you're punching above your weight. So I'm very, very aware of that every day. And career-wise, again, still feel like I'm punching above my weight. I'm very lucky to be here because I'm terrible at everything else.
No, well, that's not true. That's not true.
Well, I'm quite good at doing portraits.
Oh, you're okay.
That's literally my only other talent. I want to be a portrait artist.
What, or, like in Leicester Square?
The other job I'd be is a courtroom artist. I think that's the best job ever.
Have we all done
a courtroom artist. Because you get paid to draw and you get to meet all the people you loved on TV as a kid.
It's good. And I think... I'm only disappointed in the way your career's gone in that I thought you were you're not giving up doing stand-up, but you were an excellent stand-up straight away. Oh, I mean, you came out very fully formed. And in a way, I would kind of, as a comedy fan, I'd like to see you just do stand-up.
Yeah.
Because you'll have a really long run-up at it and be, you know, it just feel like the other stuff distracts you away from that a bit, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I do love doing stand-up and I can't stop doing it whenever I go and film something or write something. I always feel an itch to get back on stage and try to keep doing stand-up. But I do love doing the other stuff and I love writing and acting and... So it's hard to give up one, but then I think focusing on one might be an idea.
Well, it's difficult, but you know, you're young and you can manage to do lots of different things, which is Gemma Chan. So I'm really happily married with a baby.
But here's the question, is it cheating if it's...
Is it? Well, is it? But is it cheating if you... Because I have a big routine about... Which is weird, as it turns out, now you're sitting there. I have a big routine about your girlfriend.
Or the fictional character that she plays.
Well, I'd say in the routine, I ask my...
I gave him a get-out. I gave him a get-out. And he's just steamrolling through it.
A, if I was going out with her, I would ask her to play that fictional character some of the time. Or at least imagine that. Or maybe not ask her, just imagine that was going on. No, it's... I ask my... See, it's inappropriate.
It's not as inappropriate as... Oh, I went on this morning with Eamon Holmes. Right. And Eamon Holmes was there with his wife, Ruth. And we were talking about Gemma and humans, and he made a reference to it as well, going, oh, I wouldn't mind getting... Oh, that was not Northern Irish. Okay, what's Northern Ireland? Northern Ireland.
I'm not going to help you. There you are. You really don't want to ask me about accents.
Ruth. Ruth, I wouldn't mind getting one of those. Oh, it's so terrible. I wouldn't mind getting one of those adult cards for you.
Yeah. That's what. So the
a
thing
chilling
he wants,
insight into Eamon Holmes.
The thing
and
he wanted was that's more insulting to everyone. That's like going, I watch humans, and what I really want is my wife to
have sex with me.
It's not like I wish I wasn't married. I wish I had a thing. Just
touch me.
The routine is more.
I worry I had now misquoted him as well as fucking up his accent.
I think it was so. The accent was so bad. I don't think
it
they
was,
can see
no,
you.
It was terrible.
No, it clearly wasn't Eamon Holmes. It's about whether the routine's really about whether it's considered cheating to have sex with a robot, which I don't. I mean, I had a big discussion with my wife about whether having sex with a robot that looked exactly like the actress Gemma Chan would be considered cheating, and she said it would be cheating and she'd divorce me if I did that.
Really?
And I said I didn't
think
it should
be. Well, she's here tonight.
Good. It's the only reason I asked you on. So just one step closer to wrecking the lives of my wife and child. And being
and mine,
yours,
I think, as well.
And probably I'd be sent... I'm guessing I'd be sent to prison unless there was just... There might be a spark. You never know. There might be a spark. I mean, if she'll go out with you, everyone's
yeah,
in
yeah,
the
we
shot.
Yeah, so she's very much gone
table.
For the...
So that's good. But it's an interesting question about whether having... Do you think having sex with a robot should be considered cheating? That is my question that I ask in my show and that I ask my guests. Because it's not... It's only a machine, and it's not actually a human being.
Well, no, but in the
well,
series...
Well, she's got kind of conscience and
she's
stuff.
She's got a conscience. And she knows...
Yeah, but she's a robot still.
I say yes if the robots have a delete history thing. No, I don't think you should have sex with a robot.
What about a robot that doesn't, you know, it's just a robot? It's just, it's like, you know, you probably have sometimes had sex with one of those plug-in vaginas you can put in your car.
I think it's because they
you
look
probably
like...
probably have done that.
Haven't we all? Yeah. I think it's when they look like the human. If, yeah.
But that
if I was
make
caught,
any difference.
If I was caught having sex with the Go Compare robot, I think that's fine.
Well... But I think that's the same.
Because he's lost and he needs some comfort. And I'm, you know, I think
it's
okay.
The same just because it looks like... What if I found me having sex with a blow-up doll in the dressing
okay.
room?
Okay, yeah.
That looks like a human being.
Yeah.
You wouldn't judge me for that, would you? You'd say that. I mean, you'd say, why are you doing it?
I'd say the likeness isn't quite as good as the one in humans. But yeah, I'd judge you, but not necessarily think that you should leave your wife.
No, I think my wife would be disgusted.
I think she'd be upset, yeah.
Yeah, she'd be, well, she'd just think, why are you doing that?
Why are you doing that?
I mean, it's quite insulting now I think about it.
Where do we go from here?
we've literally shot our wad right at the start. Oh, and you're the king of comedy. You're the reigning king of comedy.
And now they don't exist anymore.
And it's over, so you're going to be king of comedy.
Forever.
What powers does that get? Do I have to do everything you say? As the king? Are you the king of all the comedians?
Yeah, all I have to say is just please stay away from Gemma. There's not many laws I'm going to be decreeing, but I think that one I'm going to stay pretty strong.
Okay. You live quite near me, apparently, so, you know, that's...
That's terrifying. I have to be on watch now. I'm going to have to get an actual robot to protect my non-robot girlfriend from you.
Yeah. Well, if it looks like Gemma, that might be the solution. And everyone will be, apart from my wife, will be unhappy.
Well, what if I had sex with a robot that looked like Gemma?
Yeah. I'd be up for watching that. If that's the best I'm going to get, I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Well, I think it'd be.
She has a
sister.
I
think it would be insulting. I think that would be insulting to your girlfriend. I think you'd have a good hard look at yourself if you did that.
You should.
Just have a think about.
Yeah. Can we edit out the bit where I offered up her sister?
Possibly. Possibly not. So I did a show a few years ago called Hitler Moustache, in which I tried to reclaim the toothbrush moustache for comedy, and I had to go around with a Hitler moustache on. And I just did it for a year, and it was quite... But you're trying to reclaim the Yorkshire Ripper beard, which I think is a lot braver than...
It's a lot braver. I've shaved it off recently. I've shaved it off twice.
Have
once
you?
For a part, and then the time before was to play Princess Diana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't have a beard.
No, she didn't have a beard. So that's the only time I've shaved it off.
Is it?
But I like it. I need to have my beard.
It's nice to have a beard.
Because I've got a little chubby child's face underneath it.
Well, it's a good beard for a young... I mean, you're like in your late-ish 20s now, right?
Yeah, late 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it's old. It really isn't. And so it's good to be able to pull off a beard. I couldn't have pulled off a beard at your age.
No?
No. I mean,
you pull it off that just...
Well, yeah, this
is... Not quite hooked up there.
No, it doesn't hook up. But that, when I was younger, it was even less... It was just sort of... We'd grow under there, and then a little bit there, and a little bit there. So
you could have a... You could have a good bugger's grip there.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to call them those? That's probably not PC. The bugger's grips.
Yeah. I think we're probably okay on this.
We're probably okay, yeah. And I have this mad Christian uncle who has a beard, and he cut it into sideburns. And my father, over lunch once, said to him, "Jerry, you have a tremendous set of bugger's grips." And he just got up and left the room. We haven't spoken for 5 years.
Actually, when my famous role, I've done a lot of acting, and when I was Percy the Shepherd in Servants, which you've probably seen, I had like right up to there, so they did them to there.
Down to there.
So they were like bugger's grips right up to apart from the chin, more or less. So it was, they were pretty good.
Tremendous.
So you'd have enjoyed that.
I would have enjoyed those.
You would have enjoyed that.
Servants.
I really loved you in Inside Number 9.
Oh, that was so much fun.
That was really great.
I love doing that. They're my heroes as well. I mean, I spent most of the time on set. And I'd never done it before, just sort of fangirling them and watching them. And every take, you'd see like a flash of one of their characters across their faces. And there was one where I saw a little bit of hair lip.
Right.
And then Reese. It was so good. It was amazing to work with them. But I was a little bit too in awe, probably.
Well, are they quite... I imagine... I've never worked with... Reese and Steve Pemberton. Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton from The League of Gentlemen, in case you were confused by the hair lip reference. But I've never worked with them, but I imagine they're quite fastidious. And are they... I mean, is it fun to work with them, or are they...
They're fun to work with, but they are fastidious, and they are so... They're geniuses, and they're so good at what they do, but they let everyone else do their thing, and they're not like super controlling, but you get a sense that they know what direction to steer it in. They were so nice as well, and so really excited. I mean, the only problem with that was it was on a train carriage, and I get very bad motion sickness. So on the first day, I literally had to run off set and throw up everywhere into a toilet, and then walked out with like sick on my beard and straight into Sheridan Smith, who was coming in to have her like makeup check done, and then me with like sick all over me. I think she thought it was part of the filming.
Just pretend.
So it was just, you know,
it might be a bit like my troll thing where it might get cut this bit, but
but no, it was that was great to do.
Yeah, oh cool.
Can see it on a plane. It's on planes now.
It's on
the plane.
Are you excited about that?
I get very excited when I see something on the plane.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Does
I don't get excited when I see it on TV or a poster of it, but when I'm on the plane and I see it in the little book, I'm like, oh my God, look, there. I'm on a plane.
That might be the last thing that someone watches.
Yeah, exactly.
The real test is if they're, you know, if they keep on watching as the plane's going down.
Just try and finish the episode.
Yeah.
Well, it's good with Inside Number 9 because they're self-contained.
They are, exactly.
So you won't feel like you're missing out on a series because you can just enjoy one before you crash and die. I've forgotten what it's called now. The Disney one with a little...
Inside Out.
I watched that on the plane.
Right.
That was really sweet. Like, why am I saying this? I get quite... I'm really bad at crying at stuff. And yeah. I cry. I've cried at an episode of Deal or No Deal once. That was the worst. there's something wrong with me. I'm like a really heavily hormonal pregnant woman. Right. I tear up a lot. And I watched Inside Out and was welling up on the plane. And the hostess came past. And she looked at me and I sort of took the thing, the headphones out. And she said, "Are you okay?" And I went... And I didn't want to say why, so I was like, "I'm a really nervous flyer." So then I had to keep up this pretense for the rest of the flight that I was a really nervous flyer. To the point where I think she was going to get the guy next to me to hold my hand as we landed. No, I can't, I can't.
I once cried watching Love Actually. I was really depressed and I started crying and I thought I would never stop crying.
Really?
Yeah, I started sobbing uncontrollably. It wasn't about the film. It was just when the film had helped me go into the descent into depression. But I was a bit depressed. I watched it, something made me cry, and then I started sobbing, and then I thought, I'm never going to stop crying.
It's...
Well, you know, like, it's a very depressing film, Love Actually. But, you know, not... It's a horrible film.
What?
Love Actually. My nephew loves Love Actually.
Really?
And it's a horrific...
I wonder whether... Okay, this is an amazing story about Martine McCutcheon.
Okay.
I'm probably speaking out of turn.
Good. We can always edit it out. And then make a special episode of just this. She's not in, I don't think.
My friend worked at an agency and he was very low level at this agency. And Martine McCutcheon came into the agency once. And she was coming in to meet with one of the big agents. And this is when she was at the height of her fame. Mm-hmm. They sent an email around to everyone saying, "Martine is in quite a bad mood this morning. Could please everyone just ignore her and not look at her when she comes in?" And so they all had to put down their eyes as she walked through. I thought it was kind of ironic because really they've been doing that ever since. Can you imagine sending that email?
Shouldn't that make it worse? Wouldn't it? She's just walking through going, "Why is nobody looking at me? What have I done? Have I..."
The other best Martine McCutcheon related story is I did Sunday Night at the Palladium, and Mick Hucknall was on. And I know, again, I shouldn't be sharing this, but Mick Hucknall, who went out with Martine McCutcheon, his rider with 6 bottles of champagne and a multi-pack of Danone Activia yogurts. That is his genuine rider. Can you imagine Mick just sat there with a glass of champagne, shirt off, just spooning in that tummy loving care? It's the weirdest rider ever.
Someone likes yogurt. So,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She advertised those, right, Martin McCutcheon?
Yeah.
So that's...
tummy loving care.
Yeah.
I don't think she does anymore. I think someone else got that. Gok Wang got the gig.
Did he? Yeah.
Fuck me, that's got to be a sad day. I'm really sorry.
It's show business. You just have to be ready for that.
Freddie Flintoff lost.
Not you personally, Jack. Yeah. You're going to be riding high forever, I hope.
Well,
I won't. I, for one, won't be delighted when it all comes crashing down.
And Gemma leaves me.
I will not celebrate that day. Could you tell her that if she's interested, I'm prepared to kill my wife and daughter? I'm prepared to murder them. I'll make it look like an accident for just 5 minutes of conversation with her. That's all I want.
Okay. That can be
just
arranged.
Could you just let her know?
Let her know. Okay.
Could you let her know about me?
I think definitely
you
will go home and probably talk about this afternoon. Possibly to the Neighbourhood Watch.
If you want some free tickets to my new show, in which I discuss it a little bit more, then do let her know.
Send her along.
Please don't show her this, Steve, this podcast. I think I come at it badly. I think I might have blown it. So, you went to school with Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Yeah.
How was that? That must have been a challenging, good-looking, two good-looking boys, bucks.
He was the...
Shirts off, fighting in front of the fire. That's what I'm guessing.
He was in the year above me. He was a lovely chap. very good.
Yeah.
Very good actor. Got in all the plays and I didn't. It was some bit in a screw.
Eddie Izzard didn't get in any of his plays at school either.
Really?
And then, you know.
I was always like the one they had to make up a part for.
Right.
And then you had to play the part, but deep down you knew that there was no llama in the manger. Yeah. That was really my school acting career. But that was sort of, that whole thing was just exacerbated by my mother, who was just desperate to tell me how successful it was being at every juncture. So that's where the bitterness grew from. But I don't see my mother anymore. No, she's stopped now.
Okay. And we went to university.
I'll tell you the my mother's latest thing. This is... I alluded to it earlier, that thing about, you know, people that we loved on TV as kids all now falling from grace, and how you kind of suspect everyone from that era may have been involved. My mum lives next to Diddy David Hamilton.
Right.
You know, the guy from the BBC Radio in the 70s. Nothing has been said about him. That's the most important thing to say before I tell you this story. My mum always sees him out walking the dog. And she delights. This is every time she sees him, she behaves in exactly the same way. And she's like, oh, look, Jack, there's David. And she's like, oh, hello, David. How are you? Wonderful to see you. How's your wife? Oh, yes, great. Oh, wonderful. We've got to have a super catch-up and a cup of tea soon. Yes, nice. Bye, David. Bye. Any day now. Every time. Every time, every time. We're like, you can't say that. That's how rumours start. I really hope she doesn't see this now. She does. She does see him every day.
I hope.
Well, for now.
I hope David... I hope Diddy David Hamilton doesn't see that. He's a big fan of the podcast, I'm guessing. Well, you've worked with your dad as well, so your parents have both seem to be quite amusing individuals.
They're quite odd, yeah.
They're quite odd.
Quite odd. Yeah, I was telling you about my mother.
Yeah.
When I called her a couple of weeks ago and the whole Cameron putting his dick in the pig's mouth thing came out because I was abroad. And I was like, Mum, is that... I've just been on Twitter. There's something about David Cameron and a pig. Is that true? And she went, oh, Jack, can you tell me, hand on heart, that you haven't done things like that when you were drunk? Yes, I can. And why... you're meant to be the one person that doesn't see me like that. She has, very little respect for her son. And as for my father, he's... Yeah.
Are you doing more stuff with your dad, or is that...
I'm doing a sort of end-of-year thing with him,
right.
Where I think I've managed to get Jeremy Kyle to come on.
Right.
Jeremy Kyle is coming on with his dad.
Right, blimey.
I know, it's going to be...
Satan is coming
on. It's amazing, yeah. So... I tried. My pitch to him was, can you come on my show and then I'll bring my dad on your show? Because I don't feel like anyone has ever gone on that in Tweed.
And a paternity test would be interesting,
wouldn't it?
Diddy David Hamilton could be the
Diddy
dad.
Diddy David, yeah. Do look similar.
I'm going to ask you an emergency question, not because it's a particular emergency.
What's the emergency question?
These are the questions I ask when I've run out of questions. What is the worst emergency you've ever been involved in? It's literally an emergency question in this case.
Oh, the worst emergency ever.
Yeah.
I rolled a car really badly and genuinely nearly died. Like, came off the road, rolled it like 4 or 5 times through some woods and like missed 2 trees by millimeters and walked away totally unscathed. But I remember thinking at the time, and it was kind of terrible, but it was literally 2 days before my DVD was out. And all I could think was, oh my God, how many more would I have sold? If I just connected with one of those trees. Even if I'd been fine in the end, just like a little... That makes me a bad person.
It makes you bad if you thought, if I was dead, then it would be even more, because that would be... You know,
oh, no, I'd have to be alive.
You want to live
to
see
it. No, I'd want to just do like a Hammond.
Yeah.
not like full-on dead.
Yeah. Also, if you get a brain injury, that might, you know, I think it, people often be with brain injuries, they connect things really oddly in their lives, and that might actually help as a comedian, I think.
Yeah, that would.
Because often, like, a joke is just two weird ideas hitting each other in your brain, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you actually could damage your brain in the right way,
you're just thinking,
you could become
if
a super comedian.
You're just thinking, if I had less capacities, you might have an easier route to my girlfriend.
Well, I'm just...
just me, I'm, there in a chair.
I'm thinking of the film Sliding Doors, which is my favourite film. And
did you
this
cry
is the Jack Whitehall slamming into a tree film version of that. And how different my life could have been if only that... I'm delighted that you're... I really think you're amazing, so I'm only joking. Why can't everyone be babies? That is my question to you.
I saw a babe, someone dressed as a baby at a Halloween party.
Oh, did you?
Two nights ago.
It may have begun.
A huge, giant baby with a head. It was terrifying. Right. But even the baby... they'd managed, like, I don't know how, but managed to make it slightly slutty. Like, it was just all a little bit too tight. And
yeah.
How can you make a slutty baby? That's there's wrong. Slutty pumpkins and stuff like that, fine. But yeah. No costume is sacred at Halloween.
No, it isn't.
Anything can be made slutty.
Although, it's getting to a point now where the whole idea of that day is that you're meant to be able to be as offensive as you can be. I think, really, it's like often a lot of cultures, they have this a day where you're allowed to do whatever you want or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of Star Trek episode, isn't it, where people are allowed to murder everyone for a day and then they live the rest of the year in peace. That's sort of what Halloween should be, but now it's become like if you go too far, if you dress up as the Twin Towers or... You know, there's Cecil the Lion, someone dressed up hasn't got into trouble.
Did he get into trouble?
That's a brilliant Halloween costume. It's Halloween. It's like everyone is dead. They're all dead.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You can't go, oh, no, now you've picked on a real natural dead... Yeah. It's a lion as well, so it should be...
The human centipede, that's a very good one. You know, with, like, three sex dolls attached to the back of you. And then the swaddling cloth around there. That's a good one.
Is that your Halloween costume of choice?
No, just my regular costume. Walking around the house.
Good. I think it would just be good if everyone was a baby.
Everyone was a baby?
Yeah.
What, for a day or forever?
Well, it would probably be about a day.
About a day? Baby day.
Because everyone would be dead by the end of it. Everyone would be a baby. That's the basic idea of it.
Basic idea.
That's it, more or less. This might not work for you because you're so young, so you might not have experienced change. Kettle crisps are not as nice as they once were. Have I changed or have they? That's a rhetorical question.
That's a brilliant question.
No, it's rhetorical. I don't want you to answer.
I'm just complimenting the question.
Thank
I
you.
Wouldn't dare answer
Good.
It.
Good. If you could travel back in time to compare any food of today with an equivalent in the past...
Is this linked? Is this all one question?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, great. So yeah. That was just the first
bit. I'm just
bit.
Giving you an example. I would like to... If I could travel back in time, I would go I'd go back 5 years and see with a pack of kettle crisps now and a pack of kettle crisps then, and I would eat one of each and go, see, they've changed.
Do you know...
Oh, they didn't change. I've changed. That's what I would do. But, you know...
You can choose...
Yeah, that's why if I had that power... it had to be food-based. I mean, if I could travel in time, you know, and it didn't have to be food-based, I'd probably do something else. Go back and move some trees around. But this is specifically a culinary place. Is there any food that you'd like to see if it's the same as it used to taste? Or like a food that's from the past it could be that you'd think, oh, I wonder what a sausage tastes like in, in 1273. Then you could do that. But it would have to be food-based.
Food-based?
Yeah.
I don't know what...
You'd have to taste the two things, and then that would then you'd come home.
I'd like to go back in time so that all of the food that my grandmother gives me is in within its date line. She has never... She once sent me a Christmas present, which was some chocolate liqueurs, and it had the dateline on a sticker on the front, and she tried to scratch it off, but couldn't get it off, so you saw just the nail marks. And then she'd given up and got a black pen and just crossed out the dates like redacted documents during, like, the Stasi regime. Yeah. But you could see the date through it, and they were, like, 10 years old, and that was my Christmas present.
Yeah.
Because she lives in this weird... Like, you go down to her house and she has the weird mad this is an actual show, sorry. I'm just opening up too much, but
it's
no
fine,
she's
allowed. We can no, take
she's, she's quite eccentric, my grandmother. She once uncle found a roadkill deer which he dragged home, and my 80-year-old grandmother butchered it down and a Sunday lunch served us roadkilled venison.
You are literally the poshest
fucking
person
insane.
I have ever met.
No! That's not posh!
It is!
If I was posh, I'd shoot it myself! Here's a joke I want to do on the Royal Variety. Do you think I'll be able to do it?
Okay,
I want to say, because Prince Harry's there. I want to say, Prince Harry's the only member of the Royal Family that looks like he'd rather be on a stag than shooting one.
I think that's
acceptable. Will I get in trouble?
I think you'll only get in trouble if you do the other Prince Harry gag. that everyone does, let's face it. My grandparents were similar. My grandparents, the only people I've ever... You go in their pantry, as it used to be in those days, and there'd be things that were so out of date. I saw Marmite that had gone off. I don't think that's...
Possible, yeah.
You know, I would never have said that was possible. But they had old tins of Marmite.
And just... old brands that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
A few dodgy jam jars.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Spam, things like that.
Yeah.
Nice wartime
and this
food.
Was, they had, you won't remember this, they had that toilet paper, that medical toilet paper that was like tracing paper. The old guy's not in, the two young girls going, what? I mean, there used to be medical toilet paper, and they had it. It really upset me as a kid because it was the only toilet paper they had. It was like a medical shirt, and it was literally like grease-proof paper. I would say being grease-proof was the last thing toilet paper would want to be.
Yeah.
But generally, it was horrific. I just hated going to their house because I hated having to use this. I should have just taken some toilet paper.
We just have towels at Bupa.
Have staff to lick that off for us, Rich. Lick to her. What is worst, in your opinion? Bestiality or necrophilia?
Fucking hell.
If you had to judge, if you were in charge as the king of comedy and one of your servants had come with and one of them had done bestiality and one of them had done necrophilia.
I think probably the necroph...
Yeah, harden it.
Why am I even answering it? There's the other option. It's just
to evade
the question.
Whatever you answer, the headlines will be, Jack Whitehall says necrophilia is better. Is better than bestiality.
How long's the body been cold?
I think that would be your choice. Whatever your preference is, it's
and
rare, medium, rare.
What's the animal?
Again, your choice. Which animal would you have sex? I would have sex with an okapi if I was going to have sex with an animal, which is like it's a sort of like zebra llama thing. And it's got very much like a female... I don't want to have sex with that.
No.
If I had to have sex with them.
That's good that you've
I do
thought
quite
it.
Want to have sex with an okapi. Because from behind, it looks like a lady in wearing kind of zebra print trousers. And I didn't know this initially when I... And it's got a really long tongue as well, but I didn't know that. That was just a surprise that came after I'd selected the okapi and then one licked it quick and right round.
It can't be. I'm really trying to think now of what I would
Why do you think your friend's mum didn't like my...
She was there in her leopard.
Which animal would you have sex with? You're Jack Whitehall. You can have sex with any animal you want. And it'll be 30 years before the police catch up with your generation.
I don't know whether being me helps with the animal. I mean, I don't know whether name dropping with an animal.
Any animal.
Hey, by the way, I was on Mock the Week.
I think, you know, you would go into the zoo or wherever, or the farm, whichever, you know, floats your boat, or the safari park.
I'd actually probably do it with a wild animal because they're in captivity. It's, you know, it's cruel. Mm-hmm. So it would be a wild...
Yeah.
Well, something I'd have to chase. Give it an element of sport. A fox with some friends.
A fox.
We'd all get on horses and get our trumpets and then chase the fox down and then the winner can fuck it.
Well, is that really any different than the one?
No, exactly.
Is it?
See, I was trying to make a satirical point.
Yes, it is different. I have a section called Desert Island Dicks. If you were going to be standing on a desert island, what 8 Richards would you take with you?
Oh, great.
Yeah, see, it surprised you, didn't it?
Richard Herring, to keep him away from Gemma.
I'm there already.
Richard Osman from Pointless.
Yeah, good choice.
Richard... Oh, no, he's dead.
It could be a dead one. They can become the
Richard Briers?
Yeah, good choice. Because he could do the farming and stuff.
He could do the farming.
He could make self-sufficient. Make some elderflower wine.
Richard... Oh, no. Well, Richard Madeley, so we could kill and eat him.
I like the way you count them.
Richards. I don't want to pick too many. That would be a mistake.
The beauty of this question, people get to about 4 and then can't think of any more Richards. And then
Richard the Third?
Yeah, Richard the Third.
Have him there.
Yeah, as I've said before, that
Richard Griffiths.
Two more. Richard Griffiths, he's your godfather.
Yeah, he's great company. Was. Richard.
Richard?
No. Oh, Richard, Richard. Lionel Richard.
Richie Rich.
Not Lionel Richard. Richie Rich.
Richie Rich. Cliff and Richard.
Yes.
Keep him away from
he's
Richie Rich.
Check. No.
Because one of them's fictional and one of them's real.
Yes.
And if those two universes
met,
it would destroy, it would create a dichotomy that would destroy, yes, a dichotomy that would destroy the universe. I was on with Cliff Richard the other day. When I say
he
on.
He came on this?
No. I would love to get him. I've really upset Cliff Richard, some Cliff Richard fans. I was on the Albert Hall. I was in the little room and he was in the big room. And I tweeted and made a joke about saying all the audience from the corridor, and I said it's like being in a scene from The Walking Dead. It genuinely was, though. And then, because it was really difficult to get anywhere, and then I said they're all over 70, at least they'll all be safe. And then...
Are you allowed to say that?
I haven't said it. What have I said? What have I said?
Really?
Yeah, what have I said?
Nothing.
Good. If you want to say something, you're welcome to say it.
Any day now.
But then, so... And then I got some Cliff Richard fans telling me they were 35 and stuff, so yeah, that showed me. When I was on the way into the Albert Hall, I passed a bus and it said, I think it said Lancaster. The woman from the Albert Hall told me why it was all old people, because the bus company had arranged buses from all over the country to bring old age pensioners to the Albert Hall. So not all Cliff Richard fans are old, just on this day, they were. There was a bus and all the luggage bit was open and it said Lancaster, and I was on my way to gig, and I kind of thought, I wonder if I just got in that bus and hid in the luggage compartment, whether I could get a free trip to Lancaster, and then what would I do if I got there?
Up to Lancaster?
Yeah, I would be in Lancaster and then go... And I reckon if I hid, because I reckon they'd only be putting wheelchairs and stuff in there. There wouldn't be any actual... No one's brought their suitcase.
No.
So I could hide behind something. And I was just thinking, it'd be really inconvenient if I did that. I'd be driven to Lancaster in the luggage compartment of a bus. Do you ever have thoughts like this?
There's not many things that would trigger me to say this to you, Richard, but I genuinely think you're better than that.
Okay. I'd have got out of the gig. Wouldn't have had to do the gig.
Hidden.
There's times, you know, you'll get these times in your career.
You want to hide in
them. I've said this a lot of times. When I worked for Weekending, which was a
satire, weekly satire show on Radio 4. At one point, there was crates they used to keep all the newspapers in. I emptied them out. I got in one crate and I put the other crate on top of it and I refused to come out of the crates because I was fed up of writing jokes about John Major eating peas and being grey. Gets you this job. That's what I'm saying. Eventually it gets to you. Let me see, what else do I want to ask you? If you could choose between having a tit that dispensed talcum powder and a finger that can cure and also cause cancer, which of those two things?
And it's one...
One is alternate cancer cure, cancer cure. Or you can have as much talcum powder as you want.
Yeah, I have the talcum powder and the tit.
Good choice. What would you use talcum powder for if you had an unlimited talcum powder?
Just probably keeping everything nice and dry.
Okay.
down there.
It's carcinogenic, apparently, so watch out.
Really?
Yeah.
I shall remember that next time, my talc up.
Yeah. I don't know what time we have to finish today. I'm just going to carry on until someone tells me to stop.
I got in trouble with playing a game of Would You Rather with a child at a wedding.
Oh, gee.
13-year-old boy, and it was a really good one. And I love Would You Rather. It's the best game ever. And he came over and he was like, would you rather suck chocolate off a tramp's dick? I was like, good start. Very good start. But you and I both know this lives or dies by the quality of the next option you lay before me. As with Gemma and some of her friends at this wedding as well. So they were very much aware that I'd left their conversation to play a game of Would You Rather with a 13-year-old child. And I should have stopped because they were clearly annoyed. But I couldn't go through my life carrying the burden of not knowing what the other option might be. So I said, what is it? And he went, would you rather suck chocolate off a tramp's dick or have a tramp suck chocolate off your dick? Mind blown. And Gemma got very annoyed with me because she said that I should have shut him down rather than ask him if the tramp had teeth. Which... So I pose to you, Richard.
Yeah. I would rather have the chocolate. Well, because I like chocolate.
See you there. You like chocolate.
If I had chocolate on my dick, I wouldn't want to share it with the tramp. this is a good question for you. Sport is intrinsically stupid. Discuss.
Yeah, I
know you like it. That's why I asked it.
I like how stupid it is.
I do quite like sport myself, but it's a thing that a lot of comedians I think don't like sport, and a lot of bookish people don't like sport. But it is stupid.
Like, it is stupid.
My mother-in-law loved your adverts for the Rugby World Cup. By the way, she did want me to tell you that
they were very fun to do.
Yeah,
those rugby players.
But yeah. But you obviously work with lots of sports.
I was shit at all of those sports, and I still quite like watching them and supporting them, which seems strange, because I had so many bad memories of playing sport at school.
Yeah.
I fucking hated playing rugby. It was a horrible game to play.
It
and
is
I
well.
Was so short-sighted. I wear contact lenses, but I didn't wear contact lenses when I was at school, so I had to play in glasses. So I played rugby in glasses. They used to just beat the shit out of me. And I'd also have this thing where I went to a school with loads of teams because it was a very big school. So often other visiting schools wouldn't have enough teams to play our teams. So I would get put into their teams to play against my own school. So I'm there in my glasses, standing out there on the wing with my little fucking knocking knees, and I'm playing for some random school I've never heard of and getting beaten up by my own friends. They weren't my friends.
It was weird.
Yeah, fucking sport is stupid.
It is weird. Well, rugby's stupid. I do remember there's a bit where you have to put your hand up through people's legs.
Yeah.
That's a weird bit. And people are always, well, for me, they'd always just squeeze my balls.
I mean, that really is very weird with the rugby bit, where they all get down and hug and grab each other's balls and then go. Surely when they were coming up with the rules, someone would have gone, well, yeah, we could just start by someone just passing it to someone else. We don't necessarily have to go through this dance every time. It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
But I guess, they're in 2D
now. Everyone, shut up. Shut up, we're doing that.
Just get down. Bend over in front of me.
Yeah, I do quite like sport, but it's the appeal of it is strange. compared to lots of things. Lots of like anything that's drama or music, you can sort of understand why people would, why that yeah. initially began. But sport is to watch sport. I don't think there's enough sport where the players aren't very good.
Yeah.
I would rather watch people who aren't very good at sport playing.
Oh, totally. Sport. Like the whole drugs at the Olympics and them getting all annoyed. Just they should just embrace it and have a drugs Olympics where, but like recreational drugs.
Yeah.
So like people taking acid. Yeah. Like just lying down in the sand pit making an angel. High swimmers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some go-ki runners.
Or just, I should be in the Olympics.
You in the Olympics.
Yeah, and just running against...
No, but
against...
You have to be high.
No, I just want to be in the Olympics, doing my best...
No, you on...
Against the best people in the world, running the 100 metres, which I think would take me 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. I just think that would be fun to watch, for England. Like, no, we're not going to win it anyway. For England, Richard Herring.
I'd like that.
And I'd really try. It wouldn't be like I'd be doing it as a joke. I'd really run as fast as I could.
Or three good rowers, and then you on heroin in the back of the boat.
When I remember doing, I did athletics a bit as a kid, and I remember like there's one we were doing the 100 metres, and then one kid got down to they were delaying the start, and one kid got down to do the proper start, like in the blocks, and then we thought everyone thought it was being delayed because of that, so we all tried to do the proper start.
The proper start.
We just went going. So I'd like to do that at the Olympics.
No one does that stuff.
Yeah, well, just give me a chance to go in the Olympics, and you never know. One in a million times, everyone else just dies and on the run from all the drugs they've been taking.
Yeah.
And I win.
I think you could. They're doing other fun sports now as well, like BMX is at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll bring in darts. Yeah.
Well, if it's self-playing snooker, that is the only chance I have. That's then I'm in.
At my school, obviously, because I went to a really ghetto school, we had this lady there called Kate Middleton. there's no way into that story that doesn't make me sound like a dick. But she has all the school's sports records.
Right.
So all the other records of, like, recent times. And then you have to go back, like, 10 years for all these other records that Kate Middleton has got. And she's on all the boards of all the things.
Right.
I mean, that's definitely rigged. People have broken those records. And teachers have just gone, I think we'd rather have the future Queen of England up on the school hall wall.
Or just retrospectively, she went back and said, now I'm the
Queen. Yeah, now you're Queen.
Can you change that?
I fucking got the... the long
I would love it if it was that. Imagine if you just got married to William just for that.
Just for that.
So now we're married.
Hello.
Can you put mine... Can you get mine in? Really annoys me.
I want to be the long jump record holder.
you're doing the Royal Variety performance, but you got into trouble about doing a joke about the Queen. How are you going to broach that subject?
Probably just not bring it up on the night.
Do you want to just say sorry to it? Could you just go, sorry about that joke?
I'm really sorry about that joke. Yeah. It was probably pretty stupid. they've sort of conveniently forgiven.
Have they forgiven? There's a little period of time, then they forget.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think. I've said so many terrible things about everyone that I just don't think I can be invited anywhere to do anything.
Yeah, but it's amazing how quickly people forget.
Because if enough people do it, then it's hard to keep track of who's...
Yeah. Well, so many people have made jokes about the royal family that I think you'd have no one to host it.
Was it a particularly bad joke, Jack, that you did?
Oh. You know what it was. I just can't.
No, we don't have to bring it up. Sorry. No. We can take it out again.
You take it out.
We'll take it out. Dave, okay, make a note of the time.
Of the thing.
Yeah.
You take it out of the video.
We'll take it out of the video and I promise you,
and
anything
wasn't...
you want to take out, as long as you give me.
But no one here has a phone, do they? No. Yeah, obviously.
No, you don't. Tell me backstage, and then I'll tell it next week.
No. No, it wasn't even a joke. It was just that I'd pointed out two facts.
Right.
Three facts. Oh. I'm going to tell you and then you can say it.
Okay.
No, I can't. I'll lose that gig.
Yeah, okay, we won't.
I will point it out. Is it after the Queen's Jubilee?
Yeah.
And she didn't sit down. Yeah, you're in the
If I'd done it, right, what I would have said. If I'd written this joke, this is how it had gone. It was the Silver Golden Jubilee. It was they weren't sitting down because the Duke of Edinburgh had a urine infection, and it was their anniversary. I didn't do it as well as you.
No.
It's hard doing jokes, isn't it?
No. I didn't even know what the joke was. I didn't even say.
We'll cut that out. I'll give you an edit point. You did the last interview for Cilla Black. That is an honour that I'm hoping to bestow on you as well. In return. And then, like Conkers, I will have given her last interview as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
It wasn't my fault.
You didn't...
she was great.
Yeah.
She was great, and I was quite worried because, obviously, like, you know, someone of that, like, gravitas, they can sometimes be not so great.
Yeah.
But she was genuinely a very nice lady and gave my dad so much shit, and I respected her so much for that. Yeah.
Wish I hadn't brought that up. Can we swap lives like in Vice Versa? It would be a good... Should we do a film where we swap lives?
If I can keep your dick.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to swap back again.
No. What happens then?
Well, we swap lives and then I go, this is fine.
And I go and...
You have to go...
Hide in a coach. To Lancaster. Yeah, for a couple of days.
I was on TV when I was 28. And then look at me now. Just this is a kind of warning from your future. It's all going well now. I went out with Julia Sawala. I thought, that's it. You know, everything's going right. Then look now. Look at me now. Happily married with a child.
Happily married with a child.
Not as good.
With a theatre show that you've, chosen.
Yeah. You're right.
Ask the age-old question, necrophilia or bestiality. It's a conscious choice.
In a way,
you wrote that down.
In a way, this is better. You were born in 1988.
Yeah.
So, I've got nothing.
You've become a bit like that guy in the pub.
Yeah.
You fucking student!
I like...
Pull your fucking trousers up!
Oh, dear.
Do you want me to get out the two boxes? I can have one each.
Well, hide in the crate. You went to university for two terms. Did you stop because you were successful? Is that what happened? You became a fictional student. Is that what happened?
I stopped because I was doing stand-up up there, and that's what I wanted to do. And I did art, history of art, and I went there because all my friends were going to Manchester, and I accidentally ended up studying not history of art but textiles.
Okay.
Is there someone in textiles?
Designs? Not the
these were like tapestries and stuff. Yeah, I thought you were pointing at the guy who uses the medical toilet paper. Like, that was a textile. We never studied those. But yeah, I studied tapestries for 2 months. I thought, you know what? Stand-up is more fun than learning about tapestries. But I had a very good time in Manchester.
Did you fall into that accident? You must have ticked a box that said, I want to learn about tapestries.
Well, and it was history of art, and that they just chose that the first year was going to be on tapestries.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
The clue was in history, that was it. Because a lot of the old stuff was...
The old stuff.
Cloth-based.
Cloth-based. It was so fucking boring. But I had a great time in Manchester. Yeah. I lived in a flat that was worse than the flat in Fresh Meat. It was just... awful, the house, it was terrible. And then we used to have a thing where like the lights would keep going and no one could be bothered to change the light, so if a light went out you'd just be like, oh right, well I guess we're just using this room in the day now. And we had a house party once where a homeless guy that was the guy that I was just impersonating there that shouts at the students.
Yeah.
He came into one of our house parties and passed out on our sofa. The following morning, I came down and found him there. I was like, hey, I'm really sorry, sir. Could you just wake up? You're just on our sofa. He's like, fuck off. And he got him out of the house and then came back in. I realized he'd urinated all over the sofa. And I looked at my friend and my friend looked at me and we just nodded and just turned over the cushions. And they remained turned over for 3 years in a dark room. It was really squalid.
Nice.
We missed our rent payments 1 month as well because we bought a crossbow. Like, yeah, you could pay our rent or you could buy this crossbow and then put a mattress in the fucking house so we can shoot arrows at a mattress. Yeah. The three people I live with, all unemployed. All now unemployed. 28, all unemployed. Wow. Great times. Happy times.
Yeah, but you should be unemployed at 28.
The other one we had. Sorry, I'm just telling my student stories now, but it's quite fun to reminisce. We had a party when we first got there, and it was me and my other friend who went to Marlborough, and we arrived in Manchester, so we were still like these like behind the ears middle class boys in Manchester. I didn't really know what to do when we moved into our student house. We're like, well, let's throw a drinks party. That'd be nice. We'll throw a drinks party. I'll make some canapes. And we'll invite some of the other people, the neighbours in the local area, over for some drinks. What kind of 18-year-old thinks like that? Anyway, we sent out these flyers. Obviously, no one fucking came, other than one house, which was opposite the road. They all came to our drinks party. What we didn't realise is that the house opposite the road was a halfway house. And so it was just three posh boys in this house, and then all these recovering drug addicts sat round having canapes and drinks. I was speaking to a guy in the kitchen. He was like, I said, I'm doing history of art. What course are you on? He went, methadone. That was our sponsor.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost?
Yeah.
No, although I watched Celebrity Ghost Hunting. I sometimes watch that. Although, because of the caliber of celebrity they get, it's sometimes hard to work out whether they're a ghost or the celebrity. Philip Olivier from Hollyoaks. I thought he was haunting her mansion. Turns out he was the guest.
Is having sex with a ghost cheating, or would that be a...
That's fine.
That's fine, isn't it?
That's fine,
they're dead.
Yeah.
It's definitely not cheating for them.
We're not, yeah.
Because they're dead. It's death till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
Yeah.
Would you have sex with a ghost?
If Casper, if it was...
Oh, actually, Casper, that's a bit loaded. What's an adult ghost?
Well, most of them. Weird that you would choose the one child ghost.
He's the most famous ghost. Casper is... What's another ghost?
I would have sex with one of the ghosts from Scooby-Doo and then be disappointed when their head came off and they were... And that is Charlie the caretaker. That's the only way Charlie the caretaker gets any.
That's not having sex with a ghost. That's having sex with a caretaker.
I thought it was.
That's wrong. No, that's. See, that is morally. Your wife is leaving you again if you're fucking a caretaker.
Yeah.
But a ghost is fine.
Yeah. The only ghost.
What about the one. The children's sitcom in the 70s?
Rent-A-Ghost.
Rent-A-Ghost.
Timothy Claypole.
Timothy Claypole.
Well, that's what killed him, isn't it? So that,
You went there.
Thank you. Bob Mumford I liked. He was in the original Rent-A-Ghost.
Yeah.
There's a curse of Rent-A-Ghost. They all died.
I auditioned for Rent-A-Ghost.
Did
to
you?
Play Timothy Claypole in the new reboot of
you'd
it.
You'd be good at that, yeah.
Ah, but I didn't get it.
Is it happening?
Do you want to hear some other funny ones that I've auditioned for?
Yeah.
Harry Potter, that was the first one I auditioned for Harry Potter. And
what part?
Emma Watson got it in the end. For Harry Potter.
Wow.
And then the best one is when I signed with my American agent. He was like, there's a part that's basically nailed on for you and you sign with us, we'll get you in front of the producer and the director and you're going to get it. And I was like, that sounds good. Sign up, went, did the audition, didn't get it, and I went to see the film. It was on a couple of months ago. Did anyone see Trainwreck?
No,
the Amy Schumer film? The part that was mine was John Cena, the wrestler. And they'd gone, yeah, well, that's definitely going to you. The same agent that 2 weeks ago sent me a script for Baywatch to play the lead in Baywatch. The first thing, the script direction was he takes off his shirt to reveal rippling muscles. He is a former Olympic swimmer. I was like, what? Have you fucking seen me? The best one is Jack Davenport, the actor from Pirates of the Caribbean and Coupling and all those things. When he first went to America, his agent signed him up again with one of those things where he's like, yeah, this part is yours and they love you, Jack. They've seen all of your work and this is definitely going to be yours. Signed up with the agency, went, did the audition, went to see the film that he hadn't got that was his part. It was being played by Gene Hackman. They just talked you into you.
I think we're going to have to end because I can see the furious theatre manager shaking his fist at me. He's standing in the light there. Look at that. Is he real or is he a ghost? He might be a... Can anyone else see him at the back there?
He does look like a ghost. He does look like a ghost. Would fucking him be bad? Good? If you think he's a ghost, then according to you, that's fine.
Well, I could think he's anything. I think he's a robot. I mean, it's...
Who do I have to apologise to? I'm just trying to work through my head now.
I may have to apologise to
David Hamilton, my girlfriend, Martine McCutcheon.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. Who else? Oh, my girlfriend's sister. Thank you very much for reminding me of that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the wave of nausea wasn't enough. Oh yeah, I fucked her off.
Someone just took a photo of that wave of the nausea. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
give you
very
round
much
round
for having me.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Jack Whitehall. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for looking after us so nicely. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Stripe for pointing their cameras and mainly their sound equipment, and sometimes that gets messed up in the right direction. I don't know whose fault that is. It's produced by Dave George. It's produced by Dave Cribb, and it is a Fuzz, Sky Potato and Go Faster Stripe production. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast and then they can listen to the podcast as well. Not just this one, there's hundreds of these buggers. So go and find them all if you haven't listened to them all yet. If you like my stuff, go to gofasterstripe.com where you can buy all of my DVDs. My new DVD, Lord of the Dance Settee, should be out by now. So I hope you will buy that. And you can buy all my other shows on DVD pretty much and some books. And some badges if you want to help fund future internet stuff. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.